Let's take our Bibles this evening and please turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 55. We've been enjoying some of the Psalms on Sunday nights, and we're just going to look briefly at Psalm 55 this evening as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Psalm chapter 55. And let's begin by looking at verses 1 to 7. Psalm chapter 55, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, a psalm of David, verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the inspired word of God. We thank you, Lord, that they reveal the heart of man and they reveal, Lord, your heart. Lord, help us, we pray, to open our hearts to your word this evening, that you may do a work in our lives, that you may increase our faith, and Lord, that you may encourage us and challenge us, Lord, to look to you in times of despair and discouragement, and receive the hope and the confidence and the victory that David of old experienced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you can see, this is a psalm of David, and in Psalm chapter 55, verse 1, just like many of David's other psalms, we see him crying out to the Lord. We see him crying out to the Lord to hear his prayer. But as you can see, as we read on, David's cry to the Lord is not a cry of joy, is it? It's not a cry of rejoicing, it's a cry of distress. You see, David once again was in despair. And isn't it so good of the Lord to record in his word, not just to record, but to divinely inspire the word of God with very real, true examples of people in despair. Now, David was just not an ordinary believer. He was a man after God's own heart. He experienced discouragement. He experienced times where he felt like, as he says in verse number 4, my heart is sore pained. He was feeling the pain of his problems. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. He was feeling as if he was dying. Now, if David felt that, surely you and I will experience times where we will be so distressed, it feels like everything is ending. And yet in these wonderful psalms, we see and learn some wonderful truths about how we can come out of that despair. But David certainly was in big trouble. What was so wrong? What was happening in David's life? Thoughts of hopelessness were overwhelming him. Thoughts of distress. He was afraid. Well, as he penned the word of God, it's believed that King David wrote this psalm when his own son Absalom turned against him. And remember, it wasn't his own son that turned against him, not only him, but there were other subjects, weren't there? Within his kingdom, within his authority, that also turned against him. These were not made up fears. Sometimes we are afraid of things that aren't true, but these were real fears, weren't they? These were real events that were taking place in the life of David. These were tragic events. He wasn't paranoid. He wasn't pointlessly afraid. No, he was under great attack. There in the Word of God, the Bible says that they cast iniquity upon me. If you picture soldiers lining up at a city, seeking to break down the walls around them, catapulting stones against those walls to break down the security of the city, the walled protection of the city. That's the picture that David was painting. They're casting iniquity upon me. Their attacks are continuing. They're unrelenting. I'm in despair. And he felt like everything was falling apart. And there was no hope. Friend, perhaps you've been in a situation like that before. David certainly was. Maybe you felt like that before. The truth is, we all struggle. We all have times of despair, times of discouragement, times where we feel like life is out of control. And we are consumed with fear that troubles us. Now, what is the way out of times like that? How does God lead us through those times of distress, those times of darkness? Well, thankfully, in Psalm 55, we see the way out of our despair. And in this wonderful example of David, we're going to learn just a few simple lessons that lead us to the truth of God's word, the way out. What is the way out of our times of distress? Well, notice first of all, in Psalm 55, we see David's fears. Before we can see the way out, let's notice David's fears. David was fearing for his life, wasn't he? He was on the run. He obviously didn't want to fight his own son. He loved his son. So the only option he had was to flee, not in order to get away from the problem, but to not cause any harm to his own son by staying. He was in hiding. He was seeking to resolve the issue, but suddenly found himself in an impossible situation. We know that Absalom was at the lead, but we know also some other disloyal subjects had turned against him. And notice what he says in verse number 12. David says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me." I'm sure you've read these verses before. Maybe you can relate. It wasn't an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. David says in verse 13, "But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." You see, David was saying that if it was someone who was my enemy that was causing this hurt against me, I could have handled it. I wouldn't have been so pained in my heart, but it wasn't an enemy. It wasn't someone that hated me. It was someone who was close to me. We know not only was it Absalom, but it was also Ahithophel. We know some of his closest subjects, his closest allies, suddenly turned against him. Can you imagine what David was feeling? In fact, aren't these the most hurtful times in our lives? When the ones who are dearest to us hurt us. When the ones who we love and care about turn against us. The Bible says the gospel is like a sword. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The gospel is like a sword. When we get saved, there's a dividing difference between our loved ones who are saved and those who are not saved. And it's the truth of God, the gospel, that divides, and we will experience opposition even from our loved ones. What are we meant to do in times like that? What are we meant to do? Well, David was heartbroken, wasn't he? He felt the pain in his heart. Maybe you felt that aching pain in your heart towards those who you love, but yet turn against you. He was overwhelmed. But let me ask you this evening, was David dying? Yes or no? Was he even in jeopardy of dying? Well, he may have felt that way. But in reality, in fact, we have the blessing of looking in hindsight, God was in control of the entire situation. God would restore David to the throne, wouldn't he? And God would allow the kingdom to be strengthened after he was restored to the throne. And God was in complete control. And that, can you see in Psalm 55, David's fears were taking control of him at this time. Not the reality of God's control and God's presence in his life. His fear was taking control. And his fear was causing him to be anxious, to worry. And he was full of emotions of uncertainty. And he was speaking as if he was saying, "Well, what if they kill me? Or what if this is the end? What if I can never return to Jerusalem and see my family again?" He was at the end of his rope. And friends, when you and I allow our fears to consume us and we can't see through the darkness to see the light, you and I end up thinking all those thoughts that are contained in what we can call the what if jar. You know, you take off the lid, you undo that jar, and suddenly they all come out. All the thoughts of what if this will happen? And what if that will happen? Isn't that true? We think the worst. Now, sometimes we think that's spiritual. Because sometimes we think, well, if I think the worst and God gets me out of it, well, it's got to be better than the worst, amen? So if some problem comes and I think the worst, well, at least anything will be better than that. Friends, that's not spiritual. That's not faith. Sometimes we think that's okay. No, it's not God's will for us to think the worst. You see, David thought the worst. He said, what if I'm cast out as king? What if I'll never see home again? And you and I can imagine all sorts of silly things. Let's be honest. Silly things when we experience great trouble and tribulation. You know, when we hear, and I often say this, you know, when we hear a noise in the house, we think it's a burglar and we imagine the worst. Someone's going to come in through the front door and kill me. And yet it's just a possum on the roof, crawling around. And what do? We fear the worst. Our fears are there. Our fears are real. But the reality doesn't match up. Isn't that true? Our fears. You know, that continual pain in our head. You know, that continual discomforting pain. Now, Brother Andy just went to the dentist and he can tell you everything's connected. Sometimes we just need to go to the dentist, amen. But what do we think? Oh, it must be a brain tumor. I must be dying. This is it. This is the end. You know, I don't want to go to the doctor because the news is going to be terrible. Well, maybe sometimes we need to go to the dentist. And yet so often we're just fearful about everything and anything. You know, our fears, if we allow our fears to control us, friends, we can't live a victorious Christian life. What if I lose my job and I'll be out begging on the street? Well, the reality is God is still in control, as we heard this morning. God has a plan and a purpose for us regardless of our circumstances. How about this one? If I give everything to the Lord, that is, if I give my heart to the Lord, young person, if you give your life to the Lord to serve God, maybe there's that fear that you'll lose everything. If I give everything to God, then I'll lose everything. You know, that's what's stopping many people from getting saved. If I come to Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'll miss out on everything good in the Christian life. Friend, that is a lie of the devil. God is the one who says, in fact, if we lose our life to Him, we will gain it. It's only through giving everything to Him that we will enjoy the greatest riches in the Christian life, the greatest joys, the greatest beauties of the Christian life. Yet we are afraid many times. Our feelings of fear overwhelm us. Now, what is the problem with being consumed with fear, especially in those most difficult times that occur in your life and mine? Well, the problem is that we indulge in every single outcome and what if worst case scenario. But let me ask you the question, who is the one person who's not part of our thoughts? Who is the one person who's not part of our what if thinking? God. Because if we would bring God into the picture, suddenly we would have to bring the promises of His Word into the picture too. Amen. If we bring God into the picture, suddenly we bring His loving kindness into the picture. Suddenly we bring His almighty power into the picture. Suddenly we bring His mercy into the picture. Suddenly the picture starts to change, doesn't it? You see, the problem is when we are consumed in our fears, God is the one that we leave out. He is the one that we put on the shelf. And our problems can be very real, just like David's. Don't get me wrong. Yes, we can imagine some imaginary things, but David's problems were real. They weren't made up. And the things that you and I will face in life as Christians, they'll be very real. They can be very traumatic. They can be very heartbreaking. But the biggest problem is when we leave God out of the picture, those what-if thoughts will consume us and will keep us from God's thoughts. You see, you don't need to be a Christian for very long to know some wonderful truths about God. But those fearful thoughts are like a blockage in our heart and in our mind. They stop God's thoughts from getting in, God's Word from getting in. So we need to lay them to the side. We need to make sure that our fears are not where we live. But maybe you're there right now. David said, I mourn in my complaint. Maybe you're mourning and complaining in your heart. Maybe your heart is sore pain because the fears of life have come upon you. Friend, there is a way out. But it's not to continue to live in fear. Amen. That wasn't the way out for David. We'll see the way out in our third point, but notice the second point. We've seen David's fears. Notice, secondly, David's feelings. Now, I think verses 6 to 8 are perhaps some of the most relatable verses in the book of Psalms. Notice what David said, verse 6. And I said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest." How many of you have ever felt like that before? If I could only get out of here. In fact, I wish I was a bird. If I could only be a bird, Lord, I would just flap my wings and fly away. And then, only then, I would be at rest. Verse 7, "Lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest." You see, what did David feel like doing? Well, because he was consumed with his fears, what did he feel like doing? He felt like
escaping.
Running away. And that's what happens to you and I. Isn't that true? We really feel that that is the way out. Sometimes we try it and we realize that is not the way out. But almost all the time, if we are not careful, we will be prone to running away. David felt like running away. Now notice what he said in verse 6. "Oh, that I had wings like a dove." And do you remember the two birds that Noah set loose from the ark when the flood when the rains had stopped, and as Noah was obeying the word of God, as they were in the ark, remember, he let out a raven and he let out a dove. And something unique about a dove is that it can fly long distances. It is able to fly high in the air, and it's able to fly a long way. That's why one of the birds he used was a dove. And that's what David was saying, essentially, in verse number 6. He said, I want to get as far from here as possible. I want to get as far from this situation as I can. I wish that I could fly away and be at rest. And the picture we see is the picture that we often put ourselves in. I wish I could be like a bird, like a dove, flying above the problems are down there, but they're nowhere near me. I'm above them. I'm away from them. And I'm never going back again. You see, that's what David felt like in his heart. If I could get out of this, David said, then I would be at rest. And we think too often that that's the way out. Now, why isn't that the way out? Why isn't that the solution to our problems? Well, I'm sure you can answer the question. But the reality is, it doesn't matter where you and I go, the problem follows us wherever we go. Isn't that true? The problem doesn't go away. And if our heart has not been changed, then the problem goes with us. Have you ever gone on a holiday and you've been looking forward to it because life has become so stressful and building up, and you booked your tickets and you planned your trip away and you go on a holiday and it's great, and you've come back and you've realized what we all realize, that the problems are right there waiting for you. You know, a holiday doesn't fix it. Nothing wrong with going on a break and getting away. But friend, if you go on a holiday in order to get away from the dilemmas of your life, friend, that is not the way out. David felt like doing that. He felt like getting away. Now, we can forget about our troubles for a while. We can get distracted, but when we come back, they're right there. They're right there. And friends, most people in the world live like that. They go from holiday to holiday to try and ignore the problems in their life, to try and ignore the problems in their marriages. Many couples go away and families go away on holiday because things are so stressful at home in the marriage and in the relationship. Well, let's go on a holiday, and everyone loves a trip anyway. You know, get distracted, enjoy some fun, and then you get back home, and before you even get off the plane, there's fighting, bickering, unforgiveness and anger undealt with. Friend, a holiday doesn't fix it. Many people think, well, the solution is to literally fly away. Some people deal with their problems by moving away. Some people deal with their problems by wasting away. Maybe they don't leave, but in their mind they do. Taking drugs, alcohols, entertainment, that's addictive too. If you lose your mind in the world of entertainment, you're just ignoring the reality that is still there all the time. And as soon as you switch off that TV, before you do, you realize the problem's still there. You see, these things are not the way out. And the way out of the troubles in our life is not simply to do what we feel. That's the point. David felt like flying away. I'm sure that we can relate to that. I can relate to that. Thinking, well, I just got to, that's it, that's the solution. That's the way out. I'm afraid. I don't like this. I'm out of here. And friends, this is a reality for anyone who seeks to follow the Lord. We will face times of distress. We will face the temptation to run away, perhaps not physically, sometimes mentally. What is the way out? Well, very simply this evening, I'd like us to see it's not giving in to our fears or giving in to our feelings. Notice David's faith. Lastly, in verses 16 to 17, let's jump down for the sake of time to verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. Shall we? On two. One, two. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save him. You know, in verse 16, it seems like suddenly David is woken up out of his dilemma. Suddenly, and so often in the Psalms, we see that David starts off complaining and mourning and grieved and even hopeless, feeling like he wants to fly away. Then suddenly in verse 16, he says, as for me, I will call upon... Now, where did that come from? Perhaps it's the Holy Spirit of God saying to David, David, that's not the way out. David, you need to stop thinking about running away and you need to start realizing that you need to run to God. God is the one who is there for you. God is the one who is the way out of your distress. You can't run away from your problems. God is the one that you need to turn to and to flee to. God is the one who is your refuge. God is the one who is your salvation. God is the one who is your safety and your deliverance. The way out is to run to God. Amen? That's what David realized. The solution for you and I is to draw close to God in faith and experience the peace and the comfort that only He can give us. You see, David cried out to God. Now, he was serious about his cry. Notice in verse 17, he says, evening and morning and at noon, that's three times a day, will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Friend, when was the last time, instead of trying to ignore the problem, you brought that problem to God? When was the last time that you just kept praying, and earnestly and fervently praying, and passionately praying, expecting God to give you peace and comfort because of His presence in your life? When was the last time? Usually, wouldn't you agree, prayer is the last thing we do. When maybe we can't book those tickets to get away, or those doors close and we can't get away, and then there's no other option left and we cry out to God. You see, David's example is a very real one. David prayed. He cast his cares upon the Lord. Notice verses 22 to 20. Notice verse number 22. Now, let me encourage you, if you're going through a serious trial this very moment, let me encourage you to put verse 22 to memory. The Bible says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Friends, that is a promise of God. How can you and I live by faith? By claiming His promises, by realizing them to be true for you and I. And if we indeed take that step, if we flee to God rather than fleeing from our problems, we cast our burden upon the Lord, we have that confidence that He will never allow us, suffer us, which means to allow, He will never allow us to be moved from the place of His will, from the place of His protection. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will sustain us, though the circumstances seem to be the opposite. And they certainly were for David. His son was after his dad's own life. His own son tried to kill him. And yet David had the greatest protection and peace that any man could ever have. Why? Because it was God that was protecting him. It was God that was in control. You see how David's faith reveals to us the way out. Friends, the way out is the Lord. What a wonderful promise of God. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy cares upon the Lord, the Bible says, for he careth for thee. Friend, we need to trust in God. When we try to flee because of our fears, we are living in unbelief. We are living in unbelief. And we need to turn to the living God and say, Lord, I'm giving you this burden. And Lord, I look to you to open the door, the way out, in your time. See, God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is ever-loving. He is always at work for your best and mine. That's what the Bible tells us. The promises of God assure us of that. So as we fear and as we are tempted to flee, and yes, the time will come. If it's not happening right now, buckle your seatbelts. The time will come when you and I will be tempted to run away. But with David's example this evening, what a wonderful truth. We can flee to the Lord. We can come to him. Running away is not the solution. Because you see, if we run away, well, our circumstances might change. But what doesn't change? It's our heart. Our heart doesn't change. Our faith doesn't get any stronger. So what happens when the next problem comes? We'll end up dealing with it the same way, won't we? We will end up repeating the process. Though God in his graciousness, doesn't he? He often takes the problem away. Even despite our faith, I must admit. Now I'm talking from experience. Even though we haven't learned the lessons of that faith, faith during that time of trial, what happens when trial comes again? Well, we react the same way. And many times that's how we live as Christians. We fear, we flee. We fear, we flee. We fear, we flee. And our faith, if we're not careful, doesn't grow. Let me encourage you to flee to God. Let me encourage you to take this theme this year with both hands and say, now it's time to live by faith. Amen. Now it's time to do something that I normally don't feel like doing, praying 3 times a day. That sounds like a good prescription for fear. 3 times a day. Praying to God, praying without ceasing, believing God. Rest is not found in running away. In conclusion, notice what David said in verse number 6. He said, oh, if I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. You see, David's feelings contradicted the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, let's turn there as we close. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. David said, if I flee, if I fly away, I'll be at rest. That's the solution. That's the way out. But notice what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Why don't we read verse 28 together on 2. 1, 2. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, it's only the Lord that can give us rest. It's only the Lord that can give us peace in the storm. It's only the Lord. So then let's learn and believe by faith that we need to flee to him during our time of trouble. It's only the Lord that can lift that weight. And isn't it a beautiful picture of the love of Jesus Christ? Friends, he's not calling the righteous in this verse. No, he's calling the brokenhearted. He's calling the ones who are heavy laden. The picture is a vessel that's overloaded with cargo, that is breaking down, that is falling apart. That's how we feel when we are in fear. That's how we feel when we're falling apart. And the Lord says, yes, it's you that I'm calling to come to me. I'm the one, the Lord Jesus says, that can lift your load. I'm the one that can give you salvation. Amen? And I'm the one that is able to give you strength in the Christian life if you're able and willing to come to me. The Lord said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. See, there's the way out. It's a good reminder for us this evening. As we head into this new week, friend, our rest is in the Lord. Yes, he will deal with the circumstances at his own time. He certainly did that in David's situation. But in the moment, David was fearful. He felt like flying away. And David turned his heart to God in faith. And we see him rise up in victory and experience God's peace. And let's learn from his example and be encouraged that we can do the same as we face the trials ahead.